Have the great privilege of turning to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're reading verses 3 to 6. This letter is a summary of the gospel, but it's more than that. It is a doxology of praise. It is a way that the Word of God helps us to understand riches beyond compare that we've been given by being joined to Jesus Christ. You have been called saints already, saints by the will of God. You've been set apart in Christ Jesus. You have been given the blessing that comes from the Word of God, grace, unmerited favor to you. Shalom, the Jewish blessing, revealed in the work of the living God. Peace. From God, who is called our Father, and also from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the risen one. And this is how you receive these blessings. But there's more. So verses 3 to 6, we have to understand. This is the Word of God. Listen carefully to him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The precious word of the living and true God. It might seem like we're going to spend years in the book of Ephesians. We're moving so slowly, but you need to understand that as we begin this chapter, these particular verses unpack for us so much that we need to understand, that we need to slow down and meditate upon. In fact, there's so much in these verses that we could spend months upon months on just in these verses alone. But we're not going to do that because we need to see the big picture. We need to see more of what God has accomplished, and it's unpacked for us word upon word upon word. In fact, starting at verse 3, it's one long sentence in the original, all the way down to verse 14. One long sentence. The Apostle Paul is writing what is for us a declaration of the riches of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of what it means to have communion and fellowship with God, and where it all began. Where it began, and how it is revealed to you that you are chosen by God to belong to him through Jesus Christ. And furthermore, that you are adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. That's what these verses tell us about. They tell us about what it means to be accepted by God. They tell us about what it means to be a saint, the one who's set apart. It's for the purposes of God. And these purposes have to do with a demonstration of the glory of his grace, as we see in verse 6. God is revealing to us something that is so rich and so glorious and so beautiful that we should meditate upon it as it relates to itself. A gift that has so many different facets to it that it takes time to understand them all. A gift that is given to us because we have been given the privilege of receiving from the one who is blessed blessings. You notice how verse 3 starts. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You might recognize that language. Blessed be God. It's there throughout the Old Testament. It's there in places like Psalm 66, which we read. At the end of Psalm 66, it says this, "Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." God is blessed. It's a way of speaking, of praising him, of speaking well of God. And we are told again and again in the Psalms, again and again in the Old Testament about God's blessed, God to, who is to be blessed. His name is to be praised. God is to be praised. And so Paul begins, the Holy Spirit begins by praising God. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If the Word of God tells you to praise God, if the Word of God itself begins to praise God, then we ought to pay attention to that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this language of God being blessed governs each of the sections of this, this great one sentence in the original from verse 3 to verse 14. Sections that we'll be considering. So, what is the Word of God saying? It's saying that God is to be blessed because of his titles, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you learn that he was your Father, but he's also your Father because he is the Father, first and foremost, of the Redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ, that one who was coming out of Zion, is the Father, Jesus Christ. That's important to know. Because the privileges that belong to Jesus Christ are going to be shared with you. And one of them is adoption. And so already you're learning about the way that adoption is given to you, that adoption that's mentioned in verse 5. You're predestined unto adoption by Jesus Christ. But it's to himself. God the Father is the one who is predestining you to be adopted to himself in Jesus Christ. And so it's important that you know that he is the God and Father, not only of believers, but also of Jesus Christ. And he is the one who has blessed us. We're blessing, we're praising him, we're speaking well of him because he has blessed us. He has given us blessings. In that psalm that I just read from, the psalmist says, "Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer." That's a blessing from God, that he would receive our prayers. "Nor his mercy from me." But he's given more than that. It's not just that God says, "Well, okay, you've been asking me a lot, and I'm your Father. What do you need?" His relationship to you is one of blessing. It's far beyond a begrudging willingness to listen to your prayer or sometimes offer mercy. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. God has poured out blessings. The one that you're called upon to speak well of, to praise, God the Father has poured out blessings upon his people. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. The basis for our blessing God here is so because he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. It's kind of a theme verse. Verse 3. It's a theme that's unpacked in the verses that extend to verse 14. Blessing. It appears three times in verse 3. Blessed be God, who has blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings. He has blessed us with not some, but all of the spiritual blessings that are ours because we belong to him through Jesus Christ. In this chapter, there are blessings like being chosen from before the foundation of the world, being adopted, being redeemed by the living God, and much more. Forgiven. And all of these blessings are unremovable. Because these blessings are given to us in a place that cannot be touched. In a place that is where Jesus Christ now resides. In the heavenly places. The end of chapter 1 speaks of the fact that Jesus Christ has been set at God's right hand in the heavenly places. And then in chapter 2, we read in verse 6 that we were raised up together and made to sit in these heavenly places with Christ. It's a spiritual blessing. You can't see it, quantify it, pull out your bank app and see how much is there, because it's given to you by the Holy Spirit. It's given to you by the Spirit joining you to Jesus Christ. It's given to you by the means by which you are held in union with Christ. We're going to see that more as we begin to meditate upon these blessings that we've been given. But we're meant to understand our privileges because they focus our attention upon Jesus Christ. You can't get to the end of the sentence and somehow be thinking, well, wow, you know, I'm really special by myself. No, you have to look at how you've been given these privileges, how you've been given these blessings. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ by being joined to Jesus Christ. That's how we receive those blessings. Now, the language of being joined, united to Jesus Christ is going to appear again and again throughout this set of verses, throughout this book. But it's important that we understand that this is the means by which God gives us these heavenly blessings. Through his sovereign work, through his working out of his grace in our lives, he has joined us to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I heard someone say recently that Jesus Christ died and was raised. And if Jesus Christ died and was raised, what does that mean for you? It means that that is the means by which God brings about salvation for people like us, people who are sinners in need of grace. And he does this by joining us to his Son in his death and resurrection. That's how God saves us, so that we are actually brought into his presence through one who has the righteousness to dwell there by himself. And we are given the benefits of that righteousness by being joined to him. We are admitted through Jesus Christ. But this verse tells us something that we need to understand was accomplished through the work of God long before you and I were born. Now, you think about me and it was before I was born. That seems like a long time. But we're talking about before the foundation of the world. In other words, there's a sense in which you could say that God, in his eternal knowledge of who he would save, had you in mind before the foundation of the world. How could you possibly say that? If the Word of God didn't say it, if the Word of God didn't make it clear that he hath chosen us in him, joined to Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. This is way of speaking that's in the Word of God that our confession says is designed to be guarded carefully. Guarded carefully because people tend to take this knowledge and run with it in inappropriate ways. And the reputation that people have, if they know that they were chosen in Jesus Christ, is that they don't care about living obedient lives. And they don't care about living lives that are pleasing to God. Because, after all, I've been chosen. But you see, this verse won't let us get away with that. Because it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, for a purpose that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love. That we should be holy and without blame. That's the purpose for which we've been chosen. And so, from before the foundation of the world, you were chosen to be holy before God and without blame before him. How could you possibly say, well, he looked at my life? The more you understand of the work of God, the more you understand of the work of the Spirit, the more you read passages like Isaiah 59, the more you understand that the only way that I could be holy and without blame before holy, holy God is by being joined to his Son, the righteous one, Jesus Christ. But it's wrong for us to say that the growth in that holiness doesn't matter, because that's the point of choosing us in the first place. It's not simply that God decreed that you would be joined to him. He joined you to himself in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. You were united in a way that is in God's scope of salvation. His decree, his eternal purpose set upon you is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't plan B. It wasn't plan B that he would save you. This is how Jesus prays in John 17. John 17, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Jesus Christ is praying this. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ in his prayer is reflecting upon the love of God, the Father, for him before the foundation of the world. And then he prays that the union that he has with the Father would be extended to his children. Jesus Christ is praying this because he is going to accomplish the means by which this is possible. But it was conceived in God. It was God's plan in Christ from before the foundation of the world. The love that God had for his Son was going to be extended to his children, those who trust in Jesus Christ. And your relationship with God is described in the same terms as being from before the foundation of the world. The same terms that Jesus uses to describe his relationship with the Father. Do you realize how profound that is? Do you realize how that changes everything that you have to consider experiencing in this fallen world? What could possibly take you away from the love of God that is found in Jesus Christ. Romans 8 gives you categories. But I want you to think about it. What could possibly remove you from the love of God that's in Christ? If you have been chosen in Jesus Christ to receive a relationship with God through Jesus Christ that he had from before the foundation of the world, that is extended to you by God's grace. If you've been chosen for that, not even your sin, or the sin of other people, could mess it up. Now we have to be careful, because we're reading the sentence, and we've already seen that we were chosen for a purpose, that we should be holy and without blame. It's wrong to somehow take this security and assurance that I'm given, that I'm chosen in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, and say, oh, I'm set then. Because you've been chosen for a purpose. It is the carrying out of what has been accomplished by choosing that you become holy and without blame. This is all designed, as we get down to verse 6, the being chosen in Jesus Christ and being adopted by him to the praise of the glory of his grace. God has been gracious to me in Christ. He has been gracious to me in Christ before I even knew Jesus' name. Before Abraham was. God has been gracious to me in Jesus Christ. And in that choosing to join you to his Son is included the purpose of being chosen, that you might be holy and without blame, to demonstrate that this is all of his grace. That this is all of his grace. Because we don't have to move very far in the book of Ephesians to see what it was like for us when we were born by nature children of wrath. Those who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. If we're going to be holy and without blame before God, it must be a work of his grace. And lo and behold, that's what it is. That's what God has accomplished, a work of his grace that enables people to be joined to his Son in a way that brings about ultimately holiness and blamelessness before them, before him. And we've already seen that in the prayer of Jesus Christ that he prayed, that the love that was given to him by the Father before the foundation of the world would be given to the people that he was praying for. And so the verse goes on to speak of being holy and without blame before him in love. And then immediately tells us about the privilege of being chosen for adoption. Adoption by Jesus Christ to the Father. To be adopted into the family. If we're by nature children of wrath, if we belong to the evil one in this fallen world, if our sin and the flesh and the devil lead us astray, if we're like those people who would commit murder in their hearts when they're angry, if we're like those people who would commit adultery when we lust, if we're like those people, if we're like sinners, evil, sinful from the time that we were conceived in the womb, then being adopted into God's family must be accomplished through someone else. And it is accomplished by Jesus Christ. He has predestined, chosen you to be adopted into the family by Jesus Christ. In other words, the benefit of being chosen by God the Father is in Christ. And the benefit of being adopted into the family is by Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ that these benefits come. And that's why he's the centerpiece, you see, of that chapter that we just read, Revelation 5. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Worthy is the one who can open the book and loose the seals. He's worthy of all of the words of praise that can be uttered by many angels, by beasts and elders and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and they all that are in them, as they all cry out, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Why, that's the way, verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the focus in these verses is on how God the Father accomplished this in your life. Through adoption, through Jesus Christ. And there are ways of bringing someone into a family that may seem noble, seem beneficial to someone. I feel like this person doesn't have a home. I think this person needs to have a better life than they've had so far. But verse 5 does not stop at saying that God predestined or chose us for adoption. It says, according to the good pleasure of his will. He was doing it in order to make his will accomplished in a way that pleased him. He does it with pleasure. Bringing people into the family, because the purpose of all of this is to the praise of the glory of his grace. He's answering the prayer of Jesus Christ in John 17 to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Who is the beloved? Jesus Christ. What has Jesus Christ been saying about his relationship with the Father? Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. John 17, 24. And you have been made accepted through a relationship to God the Father by Jesus Christ. You have been adopted into the family, but not just adopted. Adopted in a way that brings about the pleasure of his will and makes you accepted. And you and I both know that there are many people who go to great lengths in life and do incredible things in order to be accepted. In order to be accepted by a peer group, in order to be accepted by an employer, in order to be accepted online, in order to be accepted by other people, people do very, very dark things and surprising things, crazy things. And some people never act on those desires to be accepted. They just weep. They mourn because they don't feel like they're accepted. And what the Bible is telling you here, what you are receiving knowledge of, is that the prayer of Jesus Christ has been answered on behalf of men and women and boys and girls who will trust in God through Jesus Christ. And there is a way to be accepted in Jesus Christ by God the Father in a way that is unshakable. Not only is it true that you've been chosen from before the foundation of the world, nothing in this world or in the world to come can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. You have been chosen to be joined to Jesus Christ and accepted before God. You have been chosen to be adopted into the family. You have been predestined for that purpose. This is also that you might grow in holiness, that you might ultimately be without blame before Him, because you are made like Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ comes back, the work in me is not going to be completely finished. But Philippians 1:6 says He's going to complete it. But it's also a relationship to God, the Father, that is characterized again and again by love. Verse 5 speaks of being adopted, but it's on the basis of this love that was mentioned at the end of verse 4. And verse 6 ends with being accepted by God, the Father, because you are joined to His Son, Jesus Christ. Accepted in the beloved. The love that God, the Father, had for His Son before the foundation of the world is shared with you. Full acceptance. Unremovable. My destiny is secure. It's been accomplished in the work of salvation. I have been given spiritual blessings, blessings that are brought by the work of the Holy Spirit in joining us to Jesus Christ, blessings that are given to me in the heavenly places, blessings like being chosen by God from before the foundation of the world. Blessings like being adopted by the living God. Blessings like being redeemed by Him. Blessings like being a recipient of His love. Acceptance that comes from God. And these privileges are designed to help you to understand what it means to have trusted in Jesus Christ. To be still trusting in Him this week, next week, all the way till the time Jesus Christ comes back. And able to praise Him appropriately. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. You know what this passage is doing? It's teaching you to understand the benefits that you've been given in Jesus Christ and turn them into praise. And when you learn that, turn the corner. Turn the corner. You begin to understand how God has brought about a way to cause His name to be praised by delivering people out of their natural tendency not to praise Him. And the benefit to those who praise Him is everlasting. It's secure in the present. You're given blessings that are in a place where they can't be taken away. And you are accepted as His children. In fact, there's never been a day. If you trusted in Jesus, there's never been a day. Never been one day in the whole course of your life in which you were not already considered by God to be joined to him through his Son. Never a day in which he thought of you as less than his child. Now that means, as we go through the book of Ephesians, you have to personally trust in Jesus Christ. This has to be worked out in history. But what Paul is talking about is where it started, how it began, and what sustains that relationship. It's the work of God from start to finish.